Hey.
How are you, man?
Well, I'm good.
Milo, welcome. It is amazing to talk to you because I'm 46 years old, and when I was growing up, when I was a much fitter young man and skateboarding, the Descendants have just always been in my life. So it is now, like, weird in a great way to actually see you and speak to you.
Yeah, now we're both old geezers, I guess, at this point.
Mate, I'm pumped about this album for so many reasons, because it is just amazing to listen to, as most Descendants albums are, all are. But there's such a great history behind this that we need to dive into. I understand that it was songs from way back in the day. So how did these songs just never make it, or were they hidden away? How did it all work? And then you recorded in 2000.
Well, I think when they first started writing these, they were a trio, and they came into it with a kind of a, like, Frank was a big 60s music fan, and I think he brought into that his 60s music influence. And I think what ended up happening is they were learning how to play, and I think once they learned how to play better, they thought, well, these songs are fine songs, but we want to play more challenging music. We want to play music that's, like, faster and more intricate and more complex. And that's how we, you know, Frank started writing songs more like, I Want to Be a Bear or something like that. And these songs are clearly a little more kind of, 60s folky kind of arrangements, that kind of thing. And so when I joined in 1980, they were still playing about half of these songs. And so I played half of them with them. The other half they'd already shelved at that point. So yeah, it's one of these things. I think maybe there was a combination of them being a different sound, kind of more of a 60s based sound, but also they required more singing. And I wasn't really a singer when I joined. I was more of like a screamer, like, And so I think they might've been thinking, oh, we need to kind of shit can these for a while because he doesn't know how to sing anyways. So that's why they stopped playing them at that point. And then in 2002, I think Bill got the idea that, these are these songs that we never really documented, never really laid down on tape ever. Why don't we get good versions of them in 2002 and we'll, go that route. And then it took me another 20 years to actually do vocals. So it's crazy the way that works out. I mean, during COVID, I had all this free time, and I just decided to use some of my free time to finish off the project, basically. So yeah,
it's just such a great story, and I'm so glad that they've been brought to light, because you say they're like a 60s kind of vibe, but they fit in so well with everything that's been done. And
I mean, because they follow up chronologically, they follow up on the Ride the Wild single, and if you listen to Ride the Wild, you kind of go, oh, well, this is kind of that same ilk. And a lot of people might hear Milo Goes to College and then try to find stuff that we did before that, and you either hit the Fat EP and you go, okay, that's pretty, like, hardcore, or you hit Ride the Wild and you go, whoa, what happened, what happened between that whole time? And this is what happened between that whole time. These songs, so that's kind of a nice bridge, basically.
So there's songs on there like Grudge was a song that really, to me, sums up what the Descendants were, that what they stand for, them get the message out there. No airs or graces, just smack people in the face with it. Lyric-wise, where did these come from? You said that the band had already kind of worked on these. Did they have lyrics before you went in, or did you write them?
And at least half of them are Frank, and he brings. I mean, Grudge pretty much, is like distilled Frank.
Yeah.
In all his glory. I mean, he just was like, he was bitter, he was hostile, he was angry, and I loved it. I mean, when I joined the band and I sang songs like Crepe Suzette, or I sang songs like,
I had that written down as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and those songs were just like, okay. And I started listening to punk maybe 6 months or 8 months before. And I thought, wow, this guy's like, he's punk. And the thing is you look at him and you go, well, he doesn't look punk, but no, he was punk because he was, like, so angry. He had so many things that he wanted, that he was lashing out against. And Grudge is a perfect example of that, where he's just kind of like, which one of those things, like grudge, it's not a very flattering emotion to have. And, you know, maybe it's even one of the seven deadly sins. I don't know. But I mean, it's still, I think it's something where he's basically saying, you know, I'm going to go ahead and admit to having this kind of ugly feeling and I'm going to write about it. And that's, you know, that's why I like that song. But yeah, I mean, a lot of his songs from that period had that same very kind of chip on the shoulder mentality. And I loved it. It was just, I was the one singing the lyrics, but I totally could identify with it because we both went to the same high school. He was a year older than I, but we both dealt with the same kind of, like, you know, hostilities from other kind of cliques of kids. And we were the outcasts. And so I think you take a certain amount of that and all of a sudden you're lashing out back at them because you feel like you don't have anything else to kind of combat it with. You just have to basically throw it back in their face. And that's how a lot of these songs came about. Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. There's songs like I'm Shaky, which is brilliant. But then you've got the almost a polar opposite to Grudge. Well, not really, but It's My Hair. For me, that's just, it's a brilliant, brilliant song.
And
That one's actually
written by Dave Nolte, who was, he and Frank started the band together just as the two of them kind of messing around in the garage. And that might've been one of the first songs that he wrote. And definitely, you know, it pretty much captures, for me, it just captures like the kind of adolescent, like, you know, don't tell me what to do. You know, I'm gonna fucking curse and I'm gonna be as crude as possible and just don't tell me what to do. It's my hair.
Yeah.
It's my hair.
And I think that's what the attraction was when I was growing up, not only because it was high energy and we used to have it playing on boomboxes when we were skating and stuff like that, but the messages, like exactly that, stuff like that was speaking for all of us at the time. Those lyrics were just like so relatable when you're a young kid. It was just the best. And we all had Descendants written on our school folders, our binders, and we all had, you know, your little face on there, and we had everything, you know, everyone was drawing that everywhere. I mean, on school lockers, buses, it was everywhere when I was growing up. So it's not only the music, but you guys are part of bloody folklore almost, you know what I mean?
I mean, I think, you know, we just wanted to write, I mean, I think we wanted to use music as a way of getting out our own frustrations. And that became, it's almost like our own little, you know, therapy, where music was an outlet for us to just basically get shit off our chest. And that's why I think people, you know, relate to this stuff, because we were just going through high school the same way everyone else was. And, it, you know, dealing with all the same bullshit. And just decided that, you know, these are the songs. The songs are going to be about how fucking pissed I am about, you know, the kids in my school. And I think that makes it much more relatable because we're just, you know, we're just dealing with the same bullshit that everyone deals with. So, you know, I think it probably helped.
I think so. And also because the songs weren't drawn out. I mean, this is a most famous thing about Descendants. It's rarely you get a song over 2 minutes long. There are a couple on this album, for example, but because they were just that little bit of shit on the liver, you could get it out in a minute and a half. You didn't have to draw it out and be poetic about it. Descendants were always just get to the point. What's pissing me off? Here it is.
Yeah.
And it was just done.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right about this record. I mean, there's a few, I think Night Age is one of the longer ones,
but
we were pretty much still in the mode of like, say your piece and finish the song, you know, and kind of like definitely influenced by the Minutemen maybe in that regard, but, you know, just kind of like, you know, if a song's longer than a minute and a half, you're kind of writing the opera or like an opera or whatever. You don't need to kind of go that route. So we just, you say your piece and you move on. So that's kind of the way we work.
I love it because you can get so many tracks and so many subjects on an album without this elongated piece. I mean, you guys have managed to do in under 2 minutes that a lot of bands can't do in five. So
we condense it all, you know.
Yeah, it's ferocious. And I've loved that about the Descendants the whole way through. The wrapping up the album with Glad All Over, was that a cover that was done way back in the day, or was it something that you guys sort of went, let's do this because it's a fun song? Is that got sort of throwback to that 60s vibe?
Yeah, I think it was a request of Tony. He said, hey, I want to do Glad All Over. And it was one of his favorite songs of the beat generation. He wanted it to start out with a bass solo because he was, when he joined the band, he was like, my songs are all going to start with bass. So deal with it. And then all, you know, if you think, look at the record, all his songs do start with bass. And Nighty starts with bass and You Make Me Sick. It's all got the bass up front. And so I think the thing with Glad All Over is he would play that bass line. It starts with a bass line. And I think when they played it live back then, he'd play that bass line for like a minute, like just, and then finally the rest of the band would come in, and that was his little bass solo at the start. So it was all kind of designed for him to have a little solo moment with his bass. But yeah, that was Tony's idea. I mean, I think we were all agreeable. I mean, Frank also was coming from that same kind of like Beatles kind of Kinks background. Right. And I think playing Glad All Over seemed like a pretty natural fit for us at the time, you know. So
it certainly yeah. lends itself to being played the way it is on this album. Like it's a when you yeah. hear it, the original, you kind of go, oh, yeah, it's a catchy thing, but when it's amazing. It's the same as like when Anthrax did Got the Time, and when you hear the original and you go, this is actually really close to the original, but you don't realize it at the time, and you go, well, yeah, this lends itself to be sped up and made heavier, and yeah, it's a cool thing.
Yeah, I mean, I think Anthrax they crystallized the goodness of that song.
Yeah,
because Got the Time is one of these like really, you know, like you want to hear it fast, and of course Anthrax is like, oh, hold my beer, I can do that. You know? So yeah, they did a really good job with that. So I think, you know, we were kind of doing the same thing with the Glad All Over. We don't, you know, it's one of those things like you said, we're going to go in and write and do like a 2-minute song. And then we're out of there. And I think with like Glad All Over, you don't have to go through the, you don't have to go through the bridge again. You can go through the bridge once. You don't need to go through the bridge twice. And it worked out fine. So that, yeah, that worked. That song turned out really well too. Yeah.
Do you still get energized by what the Descendants do? Like, do you still feel that all these years later, does it still come out of you? Like what the pre-show routine, do you feel that energy? Do you feel that nervousness? Like, how does it?
Well, I think the thing is it's part of why I do is because it's actually a multi-pronged thing. It's like, it's not only the fact that there's these great songs we get to do, and not only the fact that we get to vibe off the audience, but we've also got these friendships in the band. And so if it's, you know, you put all that together and it means that you've got a lot to look forward to when we play live. It's not just any one thing. It's like, I get to go see my friends again, and I get to go see my friends in the audience again, and I get to play these fucking songs more, which I love playing. And so I just don't see a downside. I mean, if it ever gets to be a drudgery, we'll just stop doing it, but it hasn't been the way, you know, part of that is we have certain strategies about how we want to do this. We don't want to go out on four-month tours and then come back and just be like, okay, I don't ever want to see these people again. No, we go out and we make it fun. And then if it ever stops being fun, we're not going to do it. And I think that's been really great because it means that the whole point of this music is that we want to all keep close to that youthful side of what we are. And this allows us to be youthful as friends with each other, and because the music is designed to be that way. And like you said, with the Ninth and Walnut, because we're now reaching back into this time of our life where we were just teenagers, that also helps as well. So I just think the whole thing has been a series of just kind of like great events, a series of good decisions, but also a series of good feelings that we have along the way. And so we'll just keep doing it. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, man, that's awesome. And it's to bring up Anthrax again, you know, they're going through their 40th anniversary as well. Scott Ian said something really interesting that when people always ask him, and I did this, I had a chat to him and said, does it feel like 40 years? Because for us mere mortals who aren't in bands, 40 years is a long time. But he had a great way of putting it. 40 years doesn't feel like 40 years because everything's time stamped, albums, tours, you know, so it just feels like one long, big space rather than it's a year, 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 all the way along. It's almost like you said, you don't he didn't say you don't grow up, but he said you feel the same as you did because you love the music as you did when you started. And yeah, it goes, it just leans to what you said. If it's not a drudgery, you know, it's still fun. You still get the love out of it, which is commendable, man. It's fucking 40 years. Did you ever think though, like back then?
I did not think it, but part of it also is we've allowed as a group, we've allowed the band to breathe. And so over the course of the many years, we've done a lot of breathing where people leave, and I'm the major culprit there. I always leave the band, but I think that you have to allow the band to breathe. And in so doing that can, you know, by allowing the band to breathe, you actually breathe new life into the band. And that's kind of what we've done Bill has his studio where he records, you know, all these great bands, and he has that other life that he carries out. And the other members of the band, you know, Carl plays in other bands as well. And I just think it's, if you allow the breathing room for the whole band to go that way, then I think it means that every time you get back together, it's a breath of fresh air. It's like you can discover the novelty in it, and you can discover just how much it means to you every time you come back. And every time I do come back, it's like, it seems like, oh my God, I can't believe I left this behind. Or in the case of COVID, I can't believe that COVID fucked up my last 2 years and I couldn't do this. You know, it's just all kind. So I think it's been probably not by design, but just by the way it worked out. The fact that the band has kind of, you know, cycled through these changes and these kind of moving apart and then coming back together means that we can appreciate it that much more. Mm. And I think that helps to have those times apart where you can appreciate what you really have together. And that's been great.
Yeah. Like it seems like there hasn't been that constraint where the Descendants have been a band where you must all be on the same page all the time, living in each other's pockets. Like you said, you've been able to give the band space to grow and breathe. And, and you know, you've obviously done a lot of schooling over the journey as well. Where do you go away from the band? Like, what is it, just the biology stuff? Is it, you know, where do you breathe, I guess, is the question,
For many years, it was the biology, for sure. The science, you know, I look back, I guess when I look back, I can realize that the science was just, in some sense, just breathing room away from the band. Mm. But at the time when I was doing the science, it was kind of like, no, this is my career.
Yeah.
And the music was this hobby thing that I was doing. And I can look back now and realize, you know, maybe I had it all wrong. Maybe, you know, going back into science was my chance to kind of have a foray away from the band and rejuvenate myself. And I just had it all. I think I just had it all backwards, because I just didn't realize that I could be doing this with my friends and having such a great time, even into my, you know, aged years. So it's just been a real, to me, it's been a real eye opener just to realize that, you know, sciences was kind of like this side thing I did, and the music was the main thing. Mm. And it's all got twisted 180 degrees. So it blows my mind sometimes to think about it that way, but that's how I feel. Yeah.
I love it that you parented yourself, basically. You told yourself, get a real job, because you can't do this. And you were wrong. You can do this.
I was totally wrong. I was totally wrong. And I think the bottom line is, I look at the way Bill and Carl and Stefan have done it, and I thought, well, you guys had the right idea and they weathered it out. But I sure as hell made it difficult for them at times, because they were the ones sticking it out in the trenches, kind of like weathering the really lean years, if you want to think of them that way. Mm. And I'm sitting there, you know, doing science and kind of living my life or whatever. And they were having to kind of just kind of like scrabble. So it's funny because COVID kind of put it all in perspective for me, because all of a sudden with COVID, I was kind of like, okay, well, I got to weather this kind of downturn in my fortunes as a musician. And I just realized, oh, but these guys, they've been doing it all along. It's been really, you know, for them, it's been kind of periods where they really just had to kind of hang on with their fingernails and just make sure that they could still have a toehold in the whole thing. And so COVID had that way of had a way of putting things in perspective for me, which, you know, I wasn't expecting to have happen, but yeah, that's kind of the way it was. And, you know, I think, we came out the other side, hopefully, and it just makes it that much sweeter to still be a band. And I'm going to see them in a week, and it's just going to be great.
Oh, man. And I really do love that aspect of the band, that they are your mates, and you love them, and you would do anything to hang out with them, and just having fun with your mates. And that's what this is. That's what Descendants are. They're mates coming together and just having fun. And to have that in your life is incredibly special after all these years, man. And this album is testament to that. And I want everyone to hear it. And I want everyone to play every song over and over again because they're only a minute and a bit long. So I just want everyone to play it all the time because it is so much fun.
Yeah, it's a fun record. I love it.
Yeah. Man, thank you so much for the time. It is fantastic to talk to you. I hope we get to do it again. And
definitely.
Yeah, man. Look, I could sit here and talk to you for hours because I've got so many questions, but I know time is of the essence. But
yeah, and we'll try to make it down there to Australia too.
I mean,
we're dealing with, we're barely able to tour in the States right now.
Yeah.
It's still, we're all like chewing our fingernails. Like, is this going to work out in the States? So as soon as we can get over to Europe and get over to Australia, we're going to definitely hit those places up and try to keep this whole ball rolling for sure.
Yeah, that'll be so much fun. Take care. And I'll talk to you again soon.
Definitely. All right. See you later.
Bye.